Time to talk money in the morning with Dave Betts from Ameriprise Financial. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
All right. Well, you're here to help answer the difficult questions. And, we talk in broad terms about things sometimes. But one of the things that I think a lot of people, when they get to retirement age, they have a lot of questions about required minimum distributions. You're going to help us wade through that today.
Yeah, required minimum distributions are something that eventually, hopefully, hits all of us. If we get to the magic age of 70 and a half, which is an age set by the IRS. But once we get to 70 and a half, there's some mandated distributions that have to come out of our retirement plans.
All right. So let's just start with, what are those required minimum distributions?
So once you reach 70 and a half, there are distributions that are required by the IRS to withdraw a portion of your savings from your pre-tax retirement plans. And that starts the year you turn 70 and a half, and it keeps going every year, forever and ever and ever.
And what are some of the accounts that fall under those rules?
Pretty much anything you think about that you save tax on over the years while you were saving inside your 401k plans, your 403b plans, your traditional IRAs, your SEP IRAs, your simple IRAs, anything that you have money that's on a pre-tax basis that you're deferring the tax on, it's time to start taking distributions once we get to 70 and a half. So if you think about things like Roth IRAs, those distributions are not taxable. So those are not required. There are no required distributions for those because those are funded with after-tax dollars. Inherited IRAs, if we inherited an IRA from someone along the way, be it a parent or a grandparent or someone like that, inherited IRAs also have required minimum distributions. And again, because those are funded with pre-tax dollars, basically what the IRS is saying is you've deferred the taxes on that money long enough, you're 70 and a half, we want to start getting paid, so you need to start taking required distributions.
It's a good way to look at it. So when do you, obviously at age 70 and a half, but anywhere in that particular year, how often, what are the time frames here?
Yeah, the first year is a little tricky because what the language says is actually your first RMD is due by April 1st, the year following the year in which you turn 70 and a half. So that's okay. Pretty clear cut, right?
And not the year that you turned 70, but the year that you turned 70 and
that's
a half.
That's right. So. Not 70, 70
get,
and a half.
Really got to get the calendar out.
That's right. Yeah. And it's April 1st, the year following the year that you turn 70 and a half. Yeah. So you actually can delay that first distribution a little bit longer. But if you do that, you end up having to take two that year because the one that you wait up until April 1st to take, that's technically the one from the prior year. And then you still have to take that year's distribution. So most times that doesn't make sense. Maybe if you're still working and earning a wage and you say, I'd like to push that extra income off a little bit. There are some strategies there that could work, but for most people, it's the calendar year you turn 70 and a half, and then you need to get that distribution out by December 31st of every year once you turn 70 and a half.
How is it calculated? The IRS must have some formula and they figure out what your RMD is.
Yeah, that's a great question because I get that from a lot of people. Usually everybody says, what's the percentage? What do I have to take out? And what is there a stated percentage? And it's not really a percentage. What it is there's a uniform life expectancy table that the IRS provides that basically from the year you turn 70 and a half and continue all the way through will give you what your life expectancy is, and then you need your December 31st value to calculate that distribution. So the distributions that are taking place this year in 2019, we're using your December 31st, 2018 value to make that calculation. And, one of the other misconceptions out there is I have a lot of people say, does all my IRA has to get spent by the time I'm 85 or 90 or 100? There really isn't a time where it's supposed to be exhausted. If you actually look at a calculation, a lot of times that extends into well past 100. So I think as long as we are around and we're past 70 and a half, we should expect to be taking that annual distribution. And then the other thing you think about for that table is every year your life expectancy, according to the IRS table, gets a little bit smaller, and therefore your distribution gets a little bit larger. So one of the things that I talk to clients about is if you had a magic wand and every year on December 31st, your IRA was the exact same value as it was the year before, your distribution would always go up. The only way we ever see distributions go down is when IRA values drop. So as an example, we had that downturn in the market at the end of 2018. Mm-hmm. So we did see a lot of December 31st values go down, and we're seeing the 2019 distributions being a little bit smaller in a lot of cases than they were for the prior year. But in most cases, we expect to see those distributions increase every single year.
So if you've got multiple accounts, then you have to do this for each account, right?
Yeah, so that's another thing. If we have IRAs at three different firms, we want to make sure we're taking a look at what all of those distributions are. So if we have multiple accounts, we want to make sure we're accounting for all of those. Being again, 401ks, IRAs, traditional IRAs, SEP IRAs, any of those things that have pre-tax dollars in them, we want to make sure that we can calculate their RMD for all of those. And if you have multiple accounts, we don't have to take a little distribution from each one. What you actually can do is you can calculate what that total distribution is and take it all out from one. Because if you think about it from a logistical standpoint, from a logical standpoint, really, the IRS doesn't really care where the money comes from. They just want you to take it out so they can collect tax revenue. Because when you take that money out, you're going to get a 1099 at the end of the year, and then you're going to end up paying some tax. So the IRS doesn't really care which IRA you take it from as long as you take it out.
And like you said, it's not the same every year, though, so you can't just set it and forget it.
You absolutely cannot just set it and forget it, because one of the things you think about is that distribution changes from year to year. So that's an annual calculation that needs to get done. So you need to work with your financial advisor, work with your tax advisor, and making sure that we're taking the right amount. Because at the end of the day, if you don't take the right amount, there are some pretty hefty penalties involved, and there can be up to a 50% penalty. So if your distribution was supposed to be $10,000 and you didn't take it, you could be looking at a $5,000 penalty from the IRS. So we want to make sure that we're staying in compliance with those required distributions.
What if you're in a position where you don't necessarily need or want to spend that required minimum amount of money, but you've got to withdraw it? So what do you do? You're sitting there holding this pile of money you don't need or want.
Yeah, and that happens quite frequently. A lot of the clients I work with, I don't want this money. I don't need this money. What do I do with it? And of course, what we want to do traditionally is take some income taxes off the top so we can withhold federal and state taxes off of the distribution. And now we're left with the net distribution. And we just try to figure out what makes the most sense. A lot of times we can reinvest it in an after-tax account if we don't need it to spend. There's other creative things that you can do, especially if you're charitably inclined. You know, there are new rules with what's called a QCD, which is a qualified charitable distribution. If you want to give that money to charity, we can take the money directly from the IRA and gift it directly to the charity. And if we do that, we're satisfying our required minimum distribution, and we're not paying tax on those funds. So it's a way to satisfy the IRS's requirement and give money to a charity at the same time. But we have to make sure we do it the right way. If we take the monies ourselves and then turn around and give it to the charity, that's not exactly the way that that's designed to work, and those funds will end up on your tax return. What we want to do is make sure the funds go directly from the IRA directly to the charity, and if our required distribution, again, is a $10,000 distribution, and we give that $10,000 directly from IRA directly to a charity or charities, it can be multiple charities, we can split it up. But if that money goes directly from the IRA to the charity or charities, that money then, we've satisfied the required distribution, given money to charity, and it never even hits our tax return.
There you go. Easy as that. It's you don't want to blow past that 70 and a half year deadline without doing anything, because it's going to cost you. It could be a real pain. That's why you need a financial planner, I think, because it's really easy to miss things like that.
It is. If you're not paying attention, if you're not familiar with those types of things, and maybe what you do is you find out a little too late. You go to prepare that tax return, you send it off to the IRS, and all of a sudden you get the letter in the mail from the IRS, which nobody wants to see that letter in the mailbox, that says, well, we noticed that you were 70 and a half and you didn't take this distribution. Can you explain this to us? Mm-hmm. And that's not an explanation that we want to make. Because honestly, when we think about the required minimum distributions, back in the old days, which is, for me, it keeps going longer and longer, back in those old days, right? So when you've been doing this for 24 years, things that seemed like they weren't that long ago, all of a sudden were a very long time ago.
We used to be new at this, right?
But they used to, the RMDs used to kind of be on the honor system. There was no way for the IRS to know exactly what your required distributions were. And so if you were a little bit off, there wasn't really a way for them to know that. That's no longer a thing. For the last several years, the IRS is requiring all IRA companies to send them what your December 31st value is, what your required distribution is, so they know exactly what you were supposed to take, and they know exactly if you didn't take it.
All right. So that's why you need somebody like Dave Betts in your corner. If somebody wants to give you a call or contact you, what's the best way to reach you?
You can call my office. The phone number is 810-987-5370. Offices are located right downtown Port Huron at 527 Huron Avenue.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Money in the Morning with Dave Betts from Ameriprise Financial on WPHN.